Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Father, your love is so amazing, it's so wonderful, it's so hard to comprehend within our own lives. Lord, you are love. So Lord, help us never to try to separate the two. Help us to never fall into that camp. Father, we look to you today as always. And Lord God, we're here because of the very thing we're singing about, and that is the love that you have for us. Lord God, it's overwhelming to us. Lord God, it changes us. Lord God, it separates us. But Lord God, that love is not exclusive just to us. So Father, help us to extend your love into the community that is around us, to the far edges of this world. However that needs to look, Lord God, help us to be consumed with love. Lord God, your sacrificial, pure, true love. So Lord God, as we're entering into this Christmas season, it's a joyous time, it's a fun time, but help us to never forget that the reason for this season is the love that you had for us manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. So Lord God, as today we continue to celebrate and be thankful for the things that are within our lives, let us always look outside these walls and always looking to the future when you come back for your church. What a great display of love when the bridegroom comes for the bride. So Jesus be glorified. This morning, Lord, we lift up Carol McDougal. Lord God, we ask that your healing touch be upon her, that you give wisdom to any doctors, any technicians that need to have your wisdom, because that's the wisdom we trust in. Lord, we lift up those other people that are suffering health issues. Lord God, we ask for protection upon those people that are traveling today, coming back to Helena, or having relatives that are leaving Helena and driving other places. Lord, we put our confidence in you. We put our trust in you. In all of these things, and in all of these things, we pray them in the name of our King Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Christ. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Did you guys like that worship?
Yes.
Sometimes when it's just stripped back, acoustic and some voices, there's an intimacy that comes with that, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing where we can say, hey, you know what, we don't have to rely upon technology to worship our Lord. So these times of worship, man, they're special. So don't worry, we'll close out the service with some more music, so hang on. Don't leave early, right? With that being said, I will let the kids leave. I'm loud. Amy just said I'm loud. Craig, can you make me not so loud? Good. All right, we got a couple of quick announcements in. Then we'll get, you know what, let's do Chelsea first. Come on up, Chelsea. She has going to share with us about the dessert auction that we had last week. How fun was that? Did you guys eat all the desserts that you bid on and bought?
Woo! Not yet, right?
What? Good. That's a good reinforcement to bring right there.
Had a goal for the youth group between camp and the end of December to raise $2,000 for Speak the Light. And then part of our goal was in hopes to bring about $1,000 for convention, which we were able to do thanks to you guys. And our goal is then again about $1,000 is what we were hoping to gain for the rest of the year. And the dessert auction, we raised almost $2,000. Just awesome. Dessert auction. So we want to thank you guys very much for doing that and for continuing to support us.
Awesome. Thank you, church. That's pretty cool stuff. And you know, with the dessert auction, that's just a way to give, right? But you wind up with these desserts that are wonderful and tasty. What else is going on? Throw that first slide up. I don't even know what I put in. Oh, Crafting with Bridge is now back in the swing. It is Fridays from 9:30 to 11:30 in the office complex, the house that's across the parking lot. This is all different kinds of crafts. So if you like to knit, crochet, scrapbook, I guess, whatever. It's just a great time to get together and what? And talk and do all that kind of stuff. So if you're free at that time, come on over. It's always a good time. And then, like I said, last week we have our resources. We moved our resources to the old coffee cave, which is right across from the sanctuary doors. There's all sorts of books, DVDs, on all different kinds of topics. You guys are free to check those out, to use them however you see fit. If you have somebody in your life right now and maybe they're not so much into this whole Christianity thing and maybe they're going through some hard stuff, grab a book and just allow them to look through the pages, and you never know if God's going to use a book, something as simple as a book, to open the doors to a life and a faith in Jesus Christ. So use those. Those are over there. There's so much good knowledge over there, but it doesn't do us any good when we just allow it to sit there on the shelves. Get them, open them up, read them, all that good stuff. And then since Thanksgiving's over, we start to look at Christmas, don't we? How many of you guys put up your Christmas decorations already? Some, not all, a few. We've got, I think for us, we've got like 4 or 5 weeks before we'll start on that. Maybe not. But if you guys, how many of you guys came to the Candlelight Christmas Eve service last year? Oh, this place was packed. I mean, we ran out of chairs on Christmas Eve. We're going to basically do it very similar to that. We will do the candlelight service. It's pretty dynamic. It's pretty moving. 5:30 Christmas Eve, which is on a Friday. Christmas is Saturday, and then we got church on Sunday. It's going to just be a great time. Invite people. There's a lot of people that will absolutely come to a Christmas Eve, especially a candlelight service, that may or may not come on a regular basis. But if we can just, man, let's get them here. Let's celebrate with them. So invite, invite, invite. And then finally, so I don't forget, the Chosen series is, the Badgers are doing that on Friday nights, and it starts this coming Friday. So you don't want to miss that first early on segment, because then you might not know where you're going. Oh, you could read the book, and then you would kind of know. But again, could people in here just watch The Chosen on their own? Absolutely, you can watch The Chosen on your own. But there's something fun about getting together. And if it's at the Badgers, you know there's going to be food, desserts, that kind of stuff. So anybody who's interested in that, if you... 6 o'clock. If you don't know where they live, grab them after service and just ask them and hang out and do those things. Giving. 3 ways to give, of course. There's online, bridgehelena.com. There's giving boxes. You can mail it in. You can do whatever you want. It's always the opportunity that I, as the pastor, have to extend to you guys. Try to make that as easy as possible. As we enter in on Sunday mornings, we expect to worship, right? That's just part of church. You know we're going to do some worship songs. Then we're going to go into a time of teaching. That's just part of our worship throughout our days. Throughout the week, we glorify God through our prayer life, through our testimony, through all of those things. Worship is just another, or giving is just another avenue for that worship. So please give. This is a great giving church, but we always want to give you that opportunity. If you have never really consistently gave, and I'm talking biblically given like 10%, right? I would challenge you guys to try it and just see what happens. Oh, but the holidays are coming up. You don't understand. I gotta pinch those pennies. I gotta save. There's a lot of expenses I'll have. Man, if you put God first, this is the only place in Scripture where God says, hey, challenge me in this. Challenge him. And just see what happens. Amen?
Amen.
You guys ready to get started?
Amen.
Let's get started. I'm going to pray real quick so I don't mess up. Father, once again, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that we can open your word, Lord God. We thank you that your word is so perfect. It's living. It's just full of greatness. And Lord God, we get to gather today and we get to get into that word and we get to open it up. And we get to dive in and we get to get in there and think about it and hear it and all those great things. We thank you so much that we can do that. Lord, I ask you, allow me to speak what you have for me to speak. Help me to not speak what you don't have for me to speak, and help everybody who entered into this building today to leave differently by the power of the Holy Spirit. So open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts. Allow everything that you guide us in today to be something that we grab hold of, that we think about, that we apply into our life, and that we live out. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and everyone shouted,
amen.
Amen. Did you guys have a good Thanksgiving? Everybody in here have a good Thanksgiving? Nobody ate too much, right? Not us. We would never eat too much. Thanksgiving is you know, sometimes I'll describe Thanksgiving as, oh, it's that holiday where you don't get burdened down with presents and things like that. You just eat. It's all focused on eating. And it's a fun time to get together with family and get together with friends. And it's always the same time, right? It's always on the Thursday. Then you got the stuff on Friday and Saturday. And then Sunday rolls around. But as soon as Thanksgiving is over, our eyes turn toward Christmas. Our focus is now shifted, not on Thanksgiving, but Christmas to come. But these two holidays are two holidays that we really should be focusing upon on a daily basis, right? The representation of what Thanksgiving and Christmas actually is. To be thankful is very much a Christian trait, and it really conveys our appreciation to God as well as everything that has come by way of God, right? Anything that has happened in our life that is good, that is successful, that is great, it comes by way of God and our relationship with God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, give thanks in all circumstances. That's a hard one sometimes, isn't it? In all circumstances? Can't it say in some circumstances or maybe even many? No, this is saying in all circumstances we are to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. We were built to thank our God. Now we do turn our sights to Christmas, hopefully continuing to have that thankful heart. But Christmas is, or at least it should be, a celebration of the Father's plan for man's redemption becoming a reality. Isn't that really what Christmas is? It's about Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, coming to this earth, beginning the great process, the start, really, of the new covenant. John 1:14 says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. So during the busyness of the holidays, be reminded of the Christian foundation these holidays are based upon. Be thankful. Look forward to Christmas. Understand the enormity of Jesus coming to this world, becoming flesh, God with us. Today we're going to continue with our series. It's a great series so far. I've had a lot of good feedback. It's called No Middle Ground. It's about 1 John. We're going through the entire chapter of 1 John, and not quickly. Sometimes I think I should apologize for that at how long we're taking in 1 John, but I'm not going to because there's so many good nuggets. If you are collecting the handouts from each message, they will be available. They will be up here weeks 1 through 9 so far. You can grab those, fill in what you need. And today we finally got through chapter 2, didn't we? Last week we got through chapter 2. So today we start on chapter 3. And it's interesting the timing here. And I don't plan this out, man. I'm not that organized that it's like 6 months ago I was like, oh, well, then we'll get through this part. And this part will line up right after Thanksgiving. I don't do that. It's more, okay, Jesus, tell me what to do. And I try to do it. But the timing here is just right. It's, you know, falling on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. Because 1 John 3:1 is very much a passage that we all should know. It's a passage we should all believe. It's a passage we should all live out. It's really a positive affirmation of the character and the attributes of the God that we serve. I mean, you guys know that is so incredibly important to understand the character and the attributes of the God we serve. It's not simply about God, but rather it's about how we know God, how we are to acknowledge God. It defines the confidence we can have in God. See, God calls us into a very intimate and a very personal relationship with Himself. And I hope you guys are pursuing that. I hope you guys understand that. I hope that's something that's important to each and every one of you, that personal relationship. And within this relationship, we see the three distinct personalities of God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we can have the most incredible friendship that we could ever know with the God of this universe. And that's how it should be. That's how it is supposed to be. See, God never intended Himself to be distant or abstract. Far too many Christians today know God in a distant way or in an abstract kind of way because they've never taken those steps to develop that personal relationship. So I would ask you that you allow yourself to be challenged today, to be invited in, to be healed of past hurts, to be refreshed, to be encouraged, to have an encounter with God, the God of all things, that personally loves each and one of us so dearly. So let's get started. Let me get a drink. It's a little dry in here today. If you guys have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 3. We're going to break verse 1 down into two parts. So we're going to say 1 John 3, 1a. 1a. We'll get to 1b later, but 1a. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Wow. I read that scripture, I read that verse, I read that sentence, and I just have to say, wow. See, we could take just this sentence and we could spend weeks upon this sentence because this is one extraordinary sentence. Look at how it starts out. See what kind of love the Father has given us. Have you ever noticed that before? John's making a distinction here. He's not just saying, hey, look at the love that the Father has given us. No, he's saying, look at what kind of love the Father has given us. See, this is hard to comprehend here. What kind of love are we talking about here? Because I got to be honest, we tend to throw the word love around pretty loosely. Man, I love that pumpkin pie. I just love it. I love the whipped cream even more that goes on top of the pumpkin pie. Amen. That I love. I love my car. I love living in Montana. There's all these different times where we're using this word love. And is that the same kind of love that we say, hey, I love Jesus? And even more so, is it the same kind of love that he extends back to us? The same kind of love that we talk about our car or our pet with? Maybe the pet. There's some area in there. See, what John is talking about here, this is agape love. And you guys have probably heard agape love before. Agape love is the true love of God. And this same agape love that John is talking about in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, is the same love that we see Jesus talking about in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. It's not like, for God so loved the world, and God also loved a cheeseburger, and things like that. No, this is agape love. It's true love. Now, agape can be defined as charity, right? Oh, charity. Now I get it, charity. But that might limit agape love to our definition of charity, right? We all have our own definition of charity. Most of us think of charity as giving away some money or things, and it's usually in our abundance to someone in need. Makes us feel really good, doesn't it, when we give to charity and I didn't really need that extra pair of shoes. That was my 12th pair of shoes. I'm gonna give that to somebody because actually it's my least favorite pair of shoes, but I'm sure it would bless them. So in my charity, I can give that away. It's usually our definition of charity, but that doesn't encompass what agape truly is. Agape is unconcerned with the self and concerned with the greatest good of another, or in the case of John 3:16, all of mankind. It's a sacrificial kind of love. Agape is not born out of emotions. It's not born out of feelings. It's not born out of attractions, but from the will, and it's as a choice. It's a distinct choice that is made. Agape requires faithfulness. It requires commitment. It requires sacrifice without expecting anything in return. That's the problem with the human definition of love, isn't it? Usually in our understanding of love, even in our expression of love, we do it in such a manner that we expect something in return. It's like a favor, right? Oh, I will love you if you will love me back. I will do this for you if you will do this for me back. That's not sacrificial, is it? But when we think about agape as sacrificial, as a true commitment, as 100% faithful, it sounds a lot like the grace that God extends to us, doesn't it? So there's a connection between agape love and the grace that God also extends. See, agape is literally the love that comes from who God is. It's not a manufactured love. It's not a love that God had to develop. It's not a love that God was exposed to or that he had to learn about. It's literally the love that comes from God himself. See, God's love isn't sentimental, but rather it's his character. It's the character of God is the agape love that he extends to each one of us. So God loves from an outpouring of who he is. That's not usually us, is it? We don't love from an outpouring of who we are. We love because we're sentimental, emotional. We feel like we have to. We love because of what that person or that situation gives to us. But God is not like us. So this means that he is the source of agape love. Love that is undeserved, gracious. This is the kind of love the Father extends to us. This is the kind of love that we're talking about right now. That is the love that this world so desperately needs. This is the kind of love that this world is not always exposed to. It's the kind of love the churches sometimes don't extend. It's the kind of love that needs to be accepted But then we need to reciprocate that kind of love. Remember, it's non-conditional love. Coming up the holiday season, the Thanksgiving, sometimes getting together with family members can, well, it can be a little difficult, can't it? But it's this kind of agape love that we need to be extending, as hard as that might be. And now John takes it a wonderful step further. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. That's pretty good encouragement, isn't it?
Amen.
Boy, you read just this sentence and it's talking about the true kind of agape love. That's kind of God, the love that the Father has for us. And also, that's just such a huge second step. We should be called children of God. Not only are we to embrace the unique and magnificent love that the Father has bestowed upon us, which is embodied within Christ himself, we are also to identify as children of God. That's huge. So many false religions, you're just a part of it. Secularism, you're just a random piece of a bigger evolutionary equation. But God is saying, no, I want you as my child. I don't want you on the outside looking in. I don't want you to know just what my agape love is. I want you to live within that as I bring you into my family. See, the implication of being a born-again believer conveys that we have been born into the family of God. That's why it's so important to identify yourself as a born-again believer. It's no longer you who exists. It's no longer that person. But you have been born anew, and you've been born into the family of God. The truth that we become the Father's children through Jesus Christ is one of the greatest revelations of the New Testament. It's one that we have to embrace. Adopted through love and sacrifice, and chosen for all eternity. Chosen for all eternity. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough for it. It's not from your status. It's not how much money you have. Rather, God has chosen you to be in his family. Look at Ephesians 1, 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Wow. This is the basis for our faith, for our hope, for our identity, for our security, and for our character. This sacrificial, because it is a sacrificial adoption through the Father's love, brings radical change into our life. How can it not? It has to. Listen to what Galatians 4:7 says. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. There are so many things in this world that seek to enslave us. Like it or not, that's the truth. They can be pretty serious things. All those things that we as Christians say, oh, that's just evil and terrible. But they can be little things as well. Things like drugs, alcohol, money, esteem, power, peer pressure, lust, fear, stress, busyness, apathy, bigotry, hatred, complacency. We could just go on all day listing all these things that the world throws at us, that the world wants us to follow, that the world wants to enslave us and put us into bondage with. But despite what bondage it is, the results are always the same. It's death. always death. You know why it's always death? Because the slave owner will never care for their slave the same way the father will care for his child. You need to know that, and you need to understand that. A slave is entitled to nothing, but a child becomes an heir. A child that is adopted in gets the last name. He gets all that goes with that. Look at Romans 8. 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Amen. This grants us and gives us hope for our future. Starting the moment that we are born into the family of God. It is the Holy Spirit that is within us that testifies. It gives us the reality that we are different. We are no longer the same. That we are no longer slaves to this world, but that we have become and that we are children of God. And we're to act accordingly. We should have a desire to act accordingly, living a life that testifies to the love of the Father and extending Christ to others. Because here's the thing, there's always room for one more person in God's family. Don't ever look at anyone and say, I don't think they belong. Ooh, I don't know. Look at their life. Look at the past things they've done. It's not how God looks at them. God looks at them and says, man, I got room for you. I want to adopt you in. I don't want you to be out there. I want you to first know my love, my agape love, my sacrificial love. But I'm not going to leave you out there. I want you to bring you in. I want you to bring you in. Be part of my family. Most of us understand this. Most of us know this. Most of us have experienced this. Amen. Think about before you had Christ. You were enslaved to this world. You were chasing the things of this world. You were in bondage to the things of this world. But then, through revelation, through the word, through the testimony of someone else, through sitting in a church service, something happened. And Jesus came into your life. And now everything changes, right? You start to understand. You start to feel, you start to comprehend what that agape love actually is. You start to understand that you don't have to live out there. You don't have to live that way because there's always room for one more in God's family. See, when we pursue, when we acknowledge and we become a child of God, and that is only by way of Jesus Christ himself, as a child, we also submit to the discipline of the Father, don't we? Doesn't a good father discipline his children? Now, I'm not talking about discipline in a dysfunctional or in an abusive way that some people grew up knowing. But correction, usually by way of the Holy Spirit's conviction, that both leads us into a deeper relationship as well as bringing spiritual, emotional, physical, and financial health is important. Father loves us when he disciplines us, when he corrects us, when he convicts us. Hebrews 12, 5 through 6. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. I guess that just says that the agape love of God loves us so much that he won't allow us to stay where we are. The agape love of God loves us so much that he won't allow us to continue in things that are detrimental to our health. Physical, yeah. Financial, yeah. Emotional, yeah. But especially spiritual, right? So when we come to the agape love through Jesus Christ himself, And we say, Lord, I want that. I want that in my life. I want to accept that. And he said, well, come on in. Come on into the family. Then the conviction grows. It gets bigger. We understand there's certain things in our life that we have to stop doing. Part of that is because it disgusts us now. We don't want to do that anymore. That can be a process. Sometimes cold turkey. Sometimes not cold turkey. Yeah, it's Thanksgiving, guys. Come on. There's a lot of cold turkey out there. But we get to that point where we want to do the things of God. We want to share in the agape love of God. So we stop doing certain things. Maybe we stop hanging out with certain people. When we cross that line again, correction comes through the form of conviction and sometimes other ways. Now, this is important before we continue. God's love is displayed through his desire to make his children eternal, right? Amen. God wants to build his family in such a way that it's not a temporary family, that it's an eternal family. So we have to understand that. He wants to save us from an eternity without him. That's what hell is an eternity without God. And he wants us to conform to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ. Holy smokes, that sounds like a huge thing, doesn't it? I'm supposed to conform to the image of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is perfect. He says all the right things. He loves in a way that is foreign to me. Yet I'm supposed to conform to the likeness of Jesus Christ, not on my own, I can't. That's the Holy Spirit that is within me. It's important that we understand these things before we read the rest of verse 1. Let's read the rest of verse 1. 1 John 3, 1b. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Because we become the children of God, and remember what that means. It means that we have accepted the Father's agape love, the undeserved, gracious, sacrificial love by way of the Son. We have moved from slaves of this world to heirs in God's family. We have made a commitment to place our faith in God himself. And on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we seek to die to ourselves and to actually conform to the likeness of Jesus, remember? See, if this is true, then really, it's no wonder that the world that has rejected Christ and does not know him or his attributes, they wouldn't know us either. That should be of no surprise to us. It is the basic failure of the world to know God, and it is actually the basic theme of the Gospel of John, those rejecting Jesus, those choosing not to know him. Look at John 5:37-38. And the Father who sent me has himself bore witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? Jesus the Emmanuel. Jesus God with us. See, to know the Father, you must know the Son. To deny the Son is to deny the Father. Why is this so important right now? Because there's a lot out there in this world that says, oh, you can worship a higher being, that's fine. We can even call him God and talk about him this way. We can equate him to the universe. We can talk to him like he lives in the trees and things like that. We can all agree that God exists, right? Well, we can all agree that God exists, but it has to be within the context of who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
Because you're talking, having a conversation about God with somebody does not mean you're talking about the same God. There's only one true God. The Son testifies to that one true God. Amen? As Christians, we got to know it. It's the basics. Look at John 7:28. So Jesus proclaimed as he taught in the temple, "You know me, and you know where I come from, but I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know." Which then brings us to John 16, 1 through 4. "I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." I read that and I think, well, then we shouldn't be very surprised, should we? Yet we are surprised. So now we must understand the divide that occurs between the kingdoms, right? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world actually exists. Yep. Jesus testifies to that. We come to a greater understanding that there really is no middle ground. It's one or the other. It's black or white. It's life or death. It's light or it's darkness. For those who do not know God, Father and Son, there does exist a natural aggression to those who do. It's been around forever, hasn't it? It goes back to Cain and Abel, right? And it never stopped. See, if you're a Christian, you see this. If you walk around the public, you're on the streets, if you're in the stores, if you're working out at the gym, wherever you are, you can see that there is a natural aggression to those who believe in Jesus Christ. The natural aggression is not against Christians, it's against Christ. Now, generally, world religions, we're talking all world religions, in general, are universally accepted. They're even protected, really, except for one, especially in this country, right? See, Judeo-Christian beliefs have a prejudice against them that is based within the spiritual. For the Jew, it's because with them rests the promise of God. For the Christian, it is because we understand the realization of that promise, right? It's a deep-seated hatred. And just as we are to extend Christ to others, unfortunately, we have to bear that hatred head-on. Again, it shouldn't surprise us. Simply because we choose to believe in and follow teachings that base themselves in agape love and where that love comes from. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Don't put the cart before the horse. You're disliked within certain circles and within certain areas, not because of who you are, but because of who you trust and who lives within you. Yet that emptiness and that hatred does not cripple us, does it? It does not discourage us, and it sure does not inhibit us. It embodies, it emboldens us. Or it should, because there was a time in our life that we didn't have Christ. We can understand both sides, right? We can see the two different pictures. We can see our life without Christ and our life with Christ. We understand the dramatic change that has happened within us. See, those who have never met Christ, they don't have the two pictures. They only have the world, and they base everything upon that world. And the world hates Christ. So the world hates the Christian, the representation, the earthly representation of Christ. The world hates God's word. Oh boy, does the word hate God's word, because it testifies to the truth. The truth of the agape love that the Father sends to us through the Son, Jesus Christ. See, as Christians, we possess the ability to differentiate life and death, good and evil, and love and hate. And that just doesn't always go good with everybody. And we are compelled to testify to this change that only comes through being born again into the family of God. How many and how often are testifying to the change that you have encountered being born into the family of God? It's the holiday season. It's the season for Christians, my goodness. We can testify to the greatness of God by simply saying Merry Christmas. How often are we doing that with the right heart and with the right concept and with the right mindset? Those who belong to the world, we've talked about this, those that belong to the world live in perpetual darkness. But they have no true concept of the light. They have resolved within themselves to hate the light, right? Many atheists that you will talk to say they don't believe in God, but then they also convey the deep hatred that they have toward God. How can you hate something that you don't believe in? Because within the depths of who they are, it's the depths of who mankind is. We're always seeking to believe in God. We want that revelation. But the light has to shine into the darkness. That agape love has to tear down those walls of hatred, those walls of despising who God is. And the tragedy here is simple. It's all by choice. To live that way in hatred is choosing to live that way in hatred. To deny Jesus Christ himself is choosing to deny Jesus Christ himself and all his wonderful, beautiful attributes. So they choose to live by the world's standards with no true hope at all. I think we're seeing that. I think we see that in our community right now. There's been some tragic things that have happened over the last couple weeks. And we look at that and say, God, where are you within all this? And God simply says, my agape love is enough. My agape love is extended. My agape love is a choice that each person can choose to accept. Is it really that easy? It's that easy. But what complicates things is our past hurts, our baggage, our hopelessness. Maybe it's not coming in contact with a true believer that testifies to the glorious beauty and love of Jesus Christ. That's our job. This holiday season, as we begin, let's begin it with the mindset that we truly extend the agape love of the Father. The world, how the world sees things, the ranking scale of the world, see, these are not the standards that we are to live by. John wants his readers, and that includes us, it's all the readers of 1 John, to know that the approval by the world is to be feared, it's to be despised, not desired at all, regardless of what society is trying to tell us every single day. Social media is programmed with algorithms to tell us what society expects us to do, the ranking system of society. But this book here, is quite the opposite. Standards of God are contained within this book. What we should cast our eyes upon are contained in this book.
Amen.
Not anything that society tries to throw at us. Now, I will say this, being hated by the world, it kind of stinks, doesn't it? But it's a choice that we have to make. Remember, to be hated by the world reassures us that we have our eyes in the right place and that we are actually pursuing and living in the agape love of the Father. Don't be surprised that the world doesn't know you. Don't be surprised that the world looks at you when you're talking about Jesus with their eyes spinning around going, what is this lunatic talking about? Don't be surprised about that. But remember, there's always room for one more into the family of God. Worship team, if you guys want to come up here. Understanding, maybe just within the ability that we can understand the agape love of the Father, understanding that and living in that and pursuing that, you see, that far outweighs any hatred that the world can throw at us. Wouldn't you agree? It outweighs it all. Understanding that I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, let the world bring on what the world wants to bring on. I'm firmly planted in Jesus Christ. Amen to that. But when we pull that from a general sense to a more personal sense, not just this general thing, it's this individual. This individual that I struggle with in my life. Does that mean loving him testifies to the agape love of the Father that lives within me? Absolutely, it does. God is saying, don't revert to their standards. Their standards of hate, their standards of intolerance, their standards of anger. God's saying, I have given you these other standards. And they're wonderful standards. And you need to not only live within these standards, you need to model and testify these standards to this person. Because Jason, there's always room for one more into my family. That's your brother. That's your sister. They're just estranged right now. They just have wandered. They're not quite back yet. God's saying, what are you going to do to help them get back to me? That's rough. That's hard. Because it takes effort. It takes me getting out of my box. It takes me becoming bold. It takes me to resolve to live a way that Christ shines through me. And I've said, God, I want to be more like Jesus. Help me to do that. It means I got to get rid of some certain things in my life. It means that I don't run from conviction, but I run to Christ. That begins to change everything. It's the holiday season, guys. Come on. This church should be full, especially during the holiday seasons. You're trying to tell me that there's not enough people in Helena, Montana that need a relationship with Jesus Christ to fill this church and every other church in this community? I'm going to argue with you. There's people living right next to you. There's people that you're working with. There's people in your own family. We need to extend the agape love to them. We don't dismiss their behavior at all, do we? We still hold their behavior to the standard of the Word. But we listen to the Holy Spirit and how He guides us. And we say, but you don't know the kind of love that the Father is extending. Because maybe your concept of love is quite off. So let me help you to understand the kind of love that the Father is extending through my actions, my words, and my behavior. And also through the teaching of the Word. This world is literally going to hell every single day. It gets a little bit worse. But within us, being the temple of the Holy Spirit, within us, we hold the power and the authority to change things. I'm pretty sure that Jesus has left us that job to do. Amen? Amen. Everybody stand up. We're going to pray. We're going to sing. Did you decide on a song yet?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Jen decided on a song, so it's going to be good. So let's pray together. Let's worship together. As always, these altars are open. If you have never experienced the true, amazing, sacrificial, agape love of the Father as manifest through the sacrifice of the Son, the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never truly experienced that, I don't care if you've been in church for 20 years. If you're sitting here going, boy, I don't quite understand that. Today's the day to take a step to that, to begin to live within that. You do it in your seat, that's fine. You can do it at the altar, that's fine. We got people that want to pray with you. Don't let fear of man or what somebody might look at you and say, oh my gosh, I thought they were this or this or this. They must, who cares about them? They got their own issues. Don't let anything get in between you and God. Maybe you're there, but maybe you're in a place where you, man, you just, you know that you're adopted into the family of God. Man, you're a born-again believer. You're swimming in the agape love of the Father himself. But maybe you have a difficulty testifying to others, talking to others about how that actually looks. Maybe you need a good shot of Holy Spirit boldness this morning.
Amen.
Maybe you need to go to Jesus about that. He's going to help you there. He can pull out that needle, man. He can inject that right in. He's going to cause you to be bold. Because within that boldness is driven by the agape love and the passion. How can we not speak of that? Maybe you're sitting here today and you're stuck in some sort of addiction to this world. May not be drugs. Could be. May not be alcohol. Could be. Could be a whole lot of things. Could be fear. Could be anger. Could be all of those things. You know what overshadows those things? You know what brings light into the darkness of those things? It's the light of Christ, which is the agape love of the Father. So I guess what I'm saying right now is no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, no matter where you want to get to, no matter what you're struggling with, no matter what victories are in your life right now, the agape love of the Father, by way of Jesus Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit is available this morning to truly change you so that you don't walk out of this building the same way that you came in. It's available. Right now it's available. So take that. Grab hold. But it's also your choice. It's only up to you. Only you can choose to do that. Father, Lord, give us peace. Give us love. Give us boldness. Give us all of those things that you are extending to us. Lord God, help us not to be the stiff-necked people that we so often are, who sit in church and listen to your word expanded. Listen to the things that you want to do within us. Listen to the Holy Spirit conviction and simply walk away unfazed or too scared to step out of our safety little boxes that we've created. Lord, break down those walls. Help us to know your love. Help us to be bold to testify to your love. Help us to step away from the world and the enslaved addictions that come at us so often. Help us to love you more, to be more like you, Jesus. This morning, as we enter into this holiday season, as we turn our eyes toward Christ, help us to not only say Merry Christmas, but help us to go beyond that in whatever situation that dictates. Let that open up conversations about the agape love of the Father coming by way of a baby in a manger and the perfect sacrifice on the cross. Jesus, help us to be more like you. We pray this in your name. And everyone shout it out.
Amen.
Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.